Hi, welcome to Nobody's Saying Hello. This is a show where we, the nobodies, call up their friends and we say hi. I'm Lady Berica.
Did you forget what our name was?
No.
That was a dramatic pause.
Dramatic pause. You ruined it. And you are.
I am a reluctant DJ who sometimes talks to Berica.
It's DJ Accident Report. I'm trying to get him to like say his name because I realize we never introduce ourselves and it's our fucking show. Anyway, this show is brought to you in part by your support on Patreon, patreon.com/thenobodies. We have things there. We're going to have more things there, including a special interview between me and Accident Report that will be coming out in January. This is an exclusive Patreon thing. So if you want to hear us ask each other real stupid things about ourselves, that's your chance. You have to join Patreon. Also, what else? Oh, Ring Gear Remix is coming back. If you're a fan of Ring Gear Remix, it's coming back, but exclusively to Patreon. So come support us. Who do we have today?
I've been like trying to think of how to introduce our next guest all day because she is literally, I don't know how else to say this, my favorite drag performer of all time. And her name is Linda Felcher and she's here with us.
Literally, I was hoping we were going to talk about this. Did you know this about yourself, that you are Accident Report's favorite drag performer?
Today's tweet made me realize it.
Oh, I didn't see the tweet.
I just said Linda Felcher is the best drag queen, which I say probably once a week to at least
all the time. All the time. Literally, Linda, if you haven't listened to it, the episode with Emmy Great, we stopped talking about Emmy Great for a good 10 minutes and talked about you.
Oh.
So, how does that make you feel?
That's very sweet.
We can see that you're beat red, but you're going to have to explain the feelings that you're feeling right now about being Accident Report's favorite drag.
I'm very honored and grateful, and also because I feel like DJ Accident Report has a lot of opinions, and to get past those, I guess, is a good thing.
Wow, I just got red.
Really crossed the finish line with that one. How do you react to people when people compliment you, like after a show or when that's happening? Because I know for me, like depending on the mood or the mood of the piece I just did, I kind of just I just want to go into like a corner, dark corner of the bar and not be talked to. But sometimes I'm like, yes. So how do you handle that?
I guess very similar. Like on one level, I'm like really grateful that whatever number I'm doing, it like touches someone or like resonates with someone a certain way. And that's like pretty much like one of my main goals with performing is to access something with someone, but it is like, it is always like mesmerizing, being like, oh, I actually like did that. I actually like accomplished what I had in my head.
How much do you think about the audience when you're creating a piece?
I would say a significant amount. I mean, like all the pieces I do have some sort of like personal aspect to it, but, I mean, that's part of like performing for me is like the audience interaction or the audience, the feedback from the audience.
Linda, this is becoming my standard question, but like obviously a lot of like the wrestling world and wrestling fans don't know about your kind of style of performance. So like, can you describe your, like how you, like your kind of drag and what you think you're doing with it, because I'm so curious to hear your version of that.
Yeah, I usually describe myself as a drag creature or a shapeshifter. I'm more interested in like creating like moments of magic or elude. Like my goal with drag is not to look like a cis woman. My goal in drag is to create a story with my performance, whether that be through my costuming, which can be such like a wide degree of like different forms. Like I can do something very feminine, but like I love making masks and props and puppetry and like completely distorting what it means to be like human or non-human. So I guess like post human drag.
I love that. I love that.
Post-human drag?
Yeah.
Does Linda, like, the character, this is another standard question now, does, like, the Linda character have, like, an origin story? Like, what is her, where is she from? Where did she come from?
It's, well, I don't really have a specific origin story, per se, but the name was definitely a Facebook post joke. With Christ, with a Q, like in 2016, we were just like making up fake drag names. And I was just like, oh, Linda Felcher. And I'm like, wait, actually. So it was like partially a joke, but like, I guess the character Linda Belcher is from Bob's Burgers is very like, personal connection with like that's sort of like very much like what my mom is like. A lot of the like women I grew up around is very much like John Roberts, the tree, Fran Drescher. Like that's kind of like
John Roberts, the voice of Linda, is so funny.
Yeah.
And so handsome. Oh my god.
Yeah.
When,
and then of course Felching, but
and then of course Felching. Look it up, straight people.
Unless you're under the age of 18.
If you're under the age of 18, ask your parents first. I have a question. Does your family know that you do drag, and how do how do they respond to it? Have they seen you?
My sister has seen me live. My parents have only they've seen like stuff I showed them on like social media or stuff, but they've never really watched anything before the Cats musical this past Halloween.
Oh no, that's not a good introduction.
That was the entry point.
Yeah, pretty much. Like they've seen clips and stuff, but they never like watched like a show. Or, like, yeah.
Damn.
I love that though. I love that. I guess the Cats show was very parent appropriate.
Yeah.
The Linda character though, like when you're doing drag numbers, like I get that like the name comes from your mom, but like Linda Felcher as a drag persona has like a very weird idea. Like her femininity is really interesting because sometimes she's like Vanna White, sometimes she's Kate Bush, sometimes she's like, you know, like it's all these like very strange kind of examples of women. What is like the thread for you between all the Linda characters?
I would say they're all connected by like it's hard for me to articulate, but like sort of like this dream space or this like unconscious space that like it's sort of like the physical embodiment of it's sort of like a persona where I don't have to be constrained by the rules of like my current reality. It's sort of like a space for me to explore all different personas or ways of being. I guess.
Does Does your do your actual dreams inform your performances? Are you one of those people that dream about your art?
Yes and no. Like I'm one of those people who either like I don't have any dreams, or like when I do, it's like really intense, like Lynchian, like hallucination. Like I would say, when I do have dreams, they're just as I feel like art felt as my performances. Like they're all very like they all have like a mood or I guess
that is like how I would think of like a Linda performance, as like this kind of hallucinogenic experience. Like there is a sort of like unreality to all of it. Like I think of your Vanna White piece where you're just like sort of walking in and out of the room, and it's like, it's like what it is in this kind of dream netherworld. And I really love that about it.
I don't think I've ever seen this piece. Tell me more. Have I?
It was a video piece you did, right?
Yeah, it was a video. I've done it a few times live, but not very often. It's a piece where I am basically this terrifying version of Vanna White, where I have painted a face on a stocking, and I use that as my face. And there is a video that's being projected on top of me of this segment in Wheel of Fortune where Vanna White is just like showing her dress, like when they like introduce her, and she's just like coming, and it's like 3 minutes of just like that from like, I don't know, like 30 episodes or something. And I just like do that in a loop over and over again and trying to like replicate what is happening in the video, but I can't, obviously, because it's physically impossible, but it's a fun mess.
it's such genius.
I love
what
that.
What was your thinking when you were making that?
That was actually that piece is actually older than Linda. That was a piece that I did in 2012, maybe. Me and my friend OK Fox, who does podcast Art and Labor, we were in a lot of classes together at Purchase, and we had a project, and we thought of like making this like terrifying game show video art installation thing. And that was like a proto Linda piece, but looking back when I started, you know, performing live, I'm like, wait, this is a drag number. Like,
totally. Wait, is Purchase where Christ and Sherry all went to? So you guys were all there together. Who else went there?
Everyone.
Miss Jade, a lot of McGriddles, Thorgy Thor, Mitski, Parker Posey, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
I personally was in class with Sherry and Miss Jade, though.
Cool.
There's a lot of people. Yeah.
That makes me think of, like, because you were saying, like, it started as, like, an art installation and then it became a drag number. That makes me think, like, you know, because there is, in some fantasy world, like, a spectrum of, like, drag to fine art. Mm. And, like, how do you see your drag fitting into, like, the high or low divide? Or where... like where does it cross from being an art installation into being a drag piece?
I don't know, because I feel like a lot of those indications are, at least for me personally, is less about like my personal craft and more about, I don't know, the structures of the art world or nightlife, and I don't know. Like I don't see drag as any less important than, like, I don't know, fine art. And I feel like a lot of fine art is bullshit, and a lot of those structures are bullshit, and I don't know. I think it's I feel like there isn't really that much of a definition. Maybe it's more like how people consume it. Because I have done a whole spectrum of, like, I have been in museums, I have performed in nightclubs. I don't know.
Who
change the performance based on the space?
It depends. Like, there are some numbers I have done that were originally, like, for a specific bar, and then I would have to, or for a specific, like, environment. Like the Vanna White thing, like, that was originally, like, an installation that we made, but it works in most theater setting, or most club settings, so it doesn't really matter. So, yeah, I would say, yeah, but most things are usually adaptable.
Who are your inspirations? Like, who's your leg up to? Or, like, what was your introduction to drag and performance in general?
Oh, so many things. I guess from, like, very, very young. Like, not to be cliche, but, like, growing up in the 90s, like, being aware of RuPaul was, like, a very real thing. And, like, the mainstream of that. But I was also very drawn to, like, musicians, like Marilyn Manson, and Spice Girls, and, like, campiness of all different things. And then growing up, like, in teenager, I, like, learned about, like, Lee Bowery and a lot more about, like, queer culture and, like, Klaus Nomi and, like, and also learning about, when I finally went to college, like, learning about performance art and sort of how I feel like they're, like, the definitions of, like, drag or performance art is all very, like, ambiguous when it comes down to it. Yeah.
When you what did you just choke on?
My mucus.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Send me gifts, y'all.
when do you think, like, because you've shown art in museums before and you've been in like exhibited in galleries, do you think that the art world has like a negative view of what the nightlife world is doing?
I don't really know, because to be honest, I haven't really been in that realm in a while. It seems like, at least with my interactions, it seems like in some ways they're trying to absorb, like, the underground in a certain way. Like, I was involved with, there's like a performance series at the MoMA PS1, and I was like helping out. I was part of like an ensemble of performers, and everyone that was in there were like underground musicians and stuff. So I feel like maybe, I don't know necessarily drag, but like there's definitely a communication happening. And I have seen that in like New York with like queer artists, and there's communication. I don't really know. It seems like a whole another world, like, to get into about like how the art world works. And I don't really know. It seems like a mystery to me. But I don't know. My interactions with it haven't always been the greatest, but I know that those are because of the certain circumstances that I was involved with. But certain situations have been great, like that performance series I was part of, or like independent galleries that have like done stuff. And
you know.
Can we switch gears?
Yeah.
I want to talk about Mix Nobody.
Okay.
tell us and the listeners, pretend like we didn't produce the show, and tell us your experience with Mix Nobody.
My experience, well, wait, how should I frame this?
Just talk about your experience with Mix Nobody and what you liked about it, maybe what you didn't like about it, or, you know, just your general feelings about Mix Nobody.
Okay. I remember when I first was approached about it, was from Eric after a straight to DVD that we were all a part of. And I was actually really hesitant about participating because, like, I didn't really think competitions were, like, my sort of thing. But you were like, oh, just do it. It's fine. Like, whatever. Like, just do what you just did. And I literally did. And it seemed like a lot of people really liked it. Because I was just starting out then as Linda. And I'm just like, fuck it, whatever. And I feel like the Mix Nobodies, I feel like I really, that was sort of like my entrance to Brooklyn nightlife in a lot of ways. Like, that's where I met a lot of people that I work with now. Even though, like, I was working with people before that, it was just sort of like, this is the one good thing I like about competitions, is even though I'm not a huge fan of competitions, is that it does sort of make other people in the scene aware of you and see your work and sort of like network and meet new people. And that was definitely the case with the Nobodies. And what I especially appreciate about everyone that was drawn to the Nobodies is that everyone are like the weirdos or the people who might not necessarily have been popularly booked in the scene or different fractions of the scene, but we all sort of like found this scene and everyone sort of, and is pretty like accepting of all different kinds of performance, which was really cool. And yeah.
Can I share my favorite Linda Felcher memory?
Sure.
It might be embarrassing to you considering we were talking about taking compliments before, but there was one, I think it was the first Nope we did at the Vault, where it was like you did your Sophia the Robot number, and like for some reason, I don't remember why, but there were a lot of like fans of like our wrestling fans in the audience that night. And so like it wasn't like a normal drag audience, it was like a lot of people who had like literally never been to a drag show. And you did that number and people cheered your name after, which was also like, first of all, incredible. Like it was a wrestling match. And then someone came up to me in the booth after and was like, I have never been to a drag show before in my life. I didn't know this is what drag was. Like, I just didn't even know it could be that. And I think like giving that moment to someone was like, you like totally destroyed their life. Like I like they told me they cried because they just had never seen anything like that before.
That's awesome.
I love when people cry.
Yeah. The Nobodies have made a lot of people cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your favorite performance of yours? What's your favorite thing to do?
Oh. Probably any of the Kate Bush numbers.
You love a Kate Bush. I just recently learned that like you're doing the choreography move for move.
Berica didn't know that. Berica just thought you were doing a dance.
And I wish I could have remembered. I wish I would have remembered to watch the video before this, but I did not. And after I learned that, I was like, whoa, gagged. I mean, I'm already gagged. I'm already enjoying everything you do, but like also that.
What? Yeah. There's like a story behind that number, right?
Yeah. I kind of, not long before that, I had a bit of a depressive like break. Well, I think it's fine if I talk about it, but like I had a bit of a like a light stalker situation. Mm-hmm.
If you decide you don't want this in the episode, you can just text me after and we can cut it.
We'll cut it.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a mental breakdown. From some like traumatic stuff that happened, but Boy Radio really wanted me to be in his like music video show. And, you know, during like, it was like January, I was unemployed at this point, and like, I didn't really have anything going for me. So I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna put all my energy into getting the show good. And so I just like practiced and learned the choreo every day. And then, yeah, and I just performed it. And the funny thing is like, it was the reason why I was like so staunch on like, oh, I need to get the moves down is because the actual video was projected alongside of our performances. So like, I was trying to like sync it up exactly to what was happening.
Oh my god. It's incredible. Just
wait,
like,
was that at the Rosemont? Time. Did you do that at the Rosemont?
No, it was at the Deep End. It was a bar that used to be really close to me. That was also why I like said yes to this, because it was like literally a few blocks away. So I'm like, okay, I can't say no to this. So
it's so like the way that like sometimes art accidentally pulls you out of things like that is one of its only redeeming factors.
Yeah.
No, that's totally true. Sorry, then, now I'm just thinking.
And then I also really like the other Kate Bush number that I made, where I do the song Get Out of My House, and I like build a whole like little puppet theater. And I just love that because it's just like, it's so different than everything else I do. And I feel like so different than what like who else is like building a puppet set on a bar stage.
Have you thought about just doing a full Kate Bush show?
We did. That was for a full Kate Bush show.
Oh.
Like that that Robin Wood put together.
No, but I mean Linda doing a full Kate Bush show.
Because of the digital era, it has been something that has been on my mind. But I have not jumped into producing live shows yet, but that's something that I am going to try to soon do. So
when you just let us know if you need help. Actually.
Yeah, we'll help. But okay. I'm determined when live shows are possible again to put on a Linda Felcher one woman show. Yeah. We're going to do like Nobody's Present Linda Felcher.
And yeah.
It's just like going to happen.
Okay. Yeah. We're more apt to be able to help you with live shows than digital shows, but we will help.
We're also more apt to help you than to do anything ourselves at this point.
That's true. Yeah. Someone else want to perform?
Yeah, we'll help you, but we don't know how to do that anymore.
We just don't. We're all too old. Digital era ruined the nobodies.
It really did.
Video killed the nobodies. Which is weird because we got popular from doing video commentary.
Yeah, I guess.
Which plug, we will be doing some video soon. We're recording. Follow us on Patreon and support us so we can afford to record some fucking video for you if you're listening to this. Also, since we're stopping right now, I want to do a little commercial break. If you out there and you have like a small business, we would love to advertise you on the show. You should email me, ladyberica@gmail.com, or just like message me on Instagram or Twitter, and let's work something out. We're super cheap. Look at
yourself.
Us.
Speak for yourself.
I mean, I am speaking for both of us.
Is it rapid fire time?
Yeah. Wait, let me look at my questions.
Can I go to the bathroom first?
Wait. Yes, I'm going to ask about wrestling, though, because we have not. We're going to do, join us on Patreon, because we'll have a Patreon Ring Gear Remix exclusive with Linda Felcher, which we're recording after this. We'll be remixing The Rock.
Okay, you talk to Linda about wrestling. I'm going to go run to the bathroom.
Okay, you run to the bathroom. Sorry, I'm all over the place today. What do you, for our wrestling fans out there, because that's who got us famous digitally, what do you know about wrestling?
To be honest, like not a whole lot after like early 2000s.
So what, yeah, what was in the early 2000s? I mean, what was before that that you remember?
I remember hanging out with boys and them being really into like The Rock and China and like The Undertaker and like playing video games. Like I remember specifically there was like a wrestling video game that we would all like play and like
were you hanging out with them because you were crushing on them?
No.
Or because you were interested in wrestling?
It was more of like I don't know, I had a weird childhood, but it was more like my mom had to work a lot, so I would have like a friend's mom would kind of like babysit us. So I'd like go to their house after.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Well, I'm excited to Ring Gear remix The Rock with you.
Oh, but I do yes. appreciate all the costumes, and I since then have like there was one documentary I watched a few years ago. I forgot. It was like about women's wrestling, and there was that like older lady. I forgot where her name was.
Was it Gaia Girls?
Maybe
it was. Was it Japanese?
No, but I do. Fabulous I do love Moolah. The costumes. Yeah, I think it was Fabulous Moolah documentary.
She's an interesting character. Yeah. Okay. We gotta do this rapid fire.
Okay.
We gotta.
We gotta do. You know
we
what?
We gotta
guys?
Do it.
We gotta do this rapid fire. Okay, that's my new catchphrase for rapid fire time. Remind me next week. You guys, we gotta do rapid fire. Rapid fire, these are one word answers, typically. As fast as you can, typically. Feel no pressure to get a right answer. Okay, here we go. Rapid fire, favorite food?
Oh, curry.
Snacks?
Oreos.
Sweet treats?
Ice cream.
Chicken or egg?
Ooh, egg.
Scrambled or fried?
Fried.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Favorite color?
Mint green.
Favorite comedy?
Comedy? Oh my god. The first thing that just comes to mind is The Nanny right now.
That counts.
Favorite drama?
Favorite drama? Oh. Drama. Maybe I don't like drama. Because I'm thinking about it, like, I don't, like, a lot of the movies I like are, like, weird mashups that, like, don't really have a genre or something.
That's right. That's the right answer. We're moving on. favorite fairy.
Fairy?
Yeah.
Poland.
Pokemon or Digimon?
Pokemon, but you're all gonna hate me. I don't really know much about either.
Oh, I wrote this because I thought you did. No. I don't know anything about it either. I just thought it was a funny question.
I appreciate them both, but I just didn't really grow up with them. I was more of a Sailor Moon girl.
Fair. Tiny Toons or Animaniacs?
Animaniacs.
Favorite lady?
Lady. I don't know. Kate Bush, I guess. I don't know.
Favorite baby?
Baby seal.
Favorite cat? I forgot
Calico.
I wrote that one.
Calico cat.
What's your dream job?
I would love to make money. I don't know. Just eating delicious food.
I was not expecting that.
Linda Felcher mukbangs. That's what's next.
Mukbangs. Someone you miss.
All my friends.
Strangest thing in your house besides Martyr.
The spooky hole right above the toilet in our ceiling.
Are you in Silent Hill 4?
The following are true or false questions. Books?
True.
Magazines?
True. Wait, I'm confused.
Uh-huh.
True.
Wrestling?
True.
Drag?
False.
Heterosexuals?
Definitely false.
The Secret?
True.
Mm-hmm. God.
False.
The patriarchy.
Also false.
One more question. Fill in the blank. If I'd known you were coming, I'd have
worn just socks.
Wow. Linda, tell us about shows you have coming up and when they will be and where people can find you.
I don't know what date specifically this is, but sometime next month I'm gonna be in Hollow Eve's Plague Mass.
Ooh.
It's on they have like a specific platform that I think you have to like click on their page to get into. It's like it's not like Twitch or anything. It's like this other platform that you kind of have to pay for because it's everything, there's a lot of like X-rated stuff, so it can't be
Pornhub.
Yeah. But I there should be a link on their like social media.
And your social media is what?
Everything is Linda Felcher.
Yes.
Instagram, Twitter, maybe OnlyFans, YouTube.
Venmo,
Cash App, but with a change thing, and PayPal, it's like the /.
Great. Yeah.
Perfect. Love it. People should pay you. We're gonna share all of the info about the Hollow Eve show from our account so everyone can find
your apartment. Also there's on the 22nd I'm in a Nightmare Before Christmas show. I'm doing Oogie Boogie.
Yes! A classic Linda Felcher number.
I like your Oogie Boogie better than watching that movie.
Aw, thank you.
Because I don't really like that movie.
Wow.
It's a weird movie. Watching it as an adult, you're like, what?
I haven't watched it in years, and I only first watched it. I was an adult when that movie came out, so.
Hmm.
Or an adult, quote unquote.
And also, I might be putting together some kind of birthday streaming thing. I need to get my shit together for it, but
yes.
I think I might sometime this month I'm gonna play around with Twitch and like just post old performances that I've done that I've sort of been storing. Like I've recorded a lot of my live numbers, and so
Oh my god, yes, I can't wait. I'm gonna watch that and I'm gonna share it everywhere and everyone's gonna watch it.
That's true. I'm Lady Barica. You can find me at The Lady Barica everywhere. THELADYBEARICA. I don't know why I spelled it. You can look it up. You can find Accent Report wherever Accent Reports live. I am doing a show on December 20th. It's called Barica is Santa Them. You can come on at 4 p.m. on December 20th on my Instagram Live, and you can sit on my lap and tell me what you want for Christmas.
Barica did air quotes that no one can see because we are a podcast. Sit on my lap in air quotes.
We don't know. This is also recording video. I might, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, it's
Patreon special.
Patreon exclusive where you can see our faces. Okay, we're going to stop.